This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina has many strong cultural traditions in music, crafts, dance, and food, and these traditions have been evolving for generations in this state. Now, millennials are taking the helm, and two of those artists join me in the studio now. Leandra McFadder is a jazz and gospel pianist and the owner and director of Leandra's Music Studio. Leandra, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
Also with us, Jessica Lang, singer, songwriter, and performing artist in Raleigh who borrows from folk, gospel, bluegrass traditions in her guitar playing. Hello, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. They're both featured in the Millennial Tradition Artist Project, which is part of the North Carolina Arts Council, and we're going to find out more about the big project in a minute. But Leandra, let's find out a little bit about you. A young artist deep in the jazz and gospel tradition. How did you get started in music?
So I came from a musical family, and I started when I was three. My mother and my father really played piano, and my brother Curtis McVatter plays percussion now, but he was just kind of tinkering around. And I remember being in our home in like rural Kinston, and my parents would show me things, and I would play them back, and it just evolved and evolved and it evolved. And I remember, you know, just learning how to play and read music and learning theory, and everything just one big snowball heading toward marching band and learning different instruments and learning how to arrange. And that puts us where we are now.
It does, but it's outside of the musical or the pop mainstream. Yeah. At the time, was there tension growing up for you? I mean, you're so good, and we're going to hear examples of your music in just a minute. You know what you're doing in jazz and gospel. Did you ever feel a tension, or was it just always that's form for you?
You know what? Growing up, I never encountered tension. I just felt like things worked together and things were so just harmonious. But it wasn't until after, believe it or not, I got out of Kinston and I moved here to Durham, and I, you know, came across some very unfortunate circumstances where I started to really understand how tense things could be. But then in that, you have to kind of stay true to yourself and understand at the end of the day, this is a gift God's given you, and you've got to stay true to you, you know?
Well, here's what you did with that gift. Let's play a little clip right here from a song called Free.
Tomorrow's not promised, got to make the best of now. Each and every day, he continues to show me how, that despite the enemy's plan for me not to succeed, to win is in my destiny, it's in his plan for me. I am free, free to be me.
A little sample of a song called Free by jazz and gospel pianist Leandra McFadder, one of my guests today on The State of Things. Well, jazz and gospel come together in many ways in that song. Tell us more about that song, how it came together for you.
Believe it or not, you know, you hear the lyrics of the song about, and it promotes freedom, but I actually wrote that song when I was more bound than you can imagine. I was in a toxic environment setting, working setting, where I was like the youngest thing there, and there were so many people that were over me, that were under me, that were older than me, and having to deal with a lot of a variety of situations that, you know, breed from that toxicity that we were talking about and how that tension can happen, I slowly started to like slump into anxiety and depression. And it all kind of came to a head in December of 2017. And that was the decision to kind of just leave everything behind. And so I think that song was a vision or a place of where I want it to be. And I'm proud to say that I am actually living the fruition of that song now. But I wrote that in a time where it was the complete opposite. And I think that that was like an anthem for me that kind of pushed me through those bad encounters and those horrible situations to put me where I am now.
So. Wow, that's incredible. You create your own vision and then follow it.
Just follow it. Wow. Gotta go.
Well, I'm also talking with artist Jesse Lang, who is a guitar player who borrows from traditions of folk, gospel, and bluegrass. Jesse, tell me about your experience growing up and your early experiences with music.
Yeah. So my parents aren't musical, but they always wanted music to be a big part of my sister and my life. And they took us to a lot of folk and bluegrass festivals growing up, and they were always playing Doc Watson and Alison Krauss around the house. And when I was about 9, I decided that I wanted to pick up the guitar and be able to learn how to flat pick like Doc Watson. And due to programs like the Junior Appalachian Musician Program and the Pinecone Piedmont Council of Traditional Music, who provide affordable music lessons and music camps for kids in the Piedmont and even Appalachian areas for the jam program, I was able to learn and be around a lot of other youth who also loved folk and traditional music. So that's where I got my start.
Was there a place before you were 9 and wanted to pick up that flat pick that you were saying, Mom, Dad, nobody else is listening to this? Because a lot of people are, but maybe not for an 8-year-old girl. That's the point I want to make.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had always grown up listening to that kind of music, and I had never been a huge pop or rock fan growing up. So for me, it wasn't that different, but a lot of people at my school didn't know, and still a lot of people my age don't really know about traditional music, but for me, it wasn't an issue. So.
Well, I hope you change all that. Here's a sample of some of your music, Old Dangerfield. Let's listen. A little bit of the song Old Dangerfield, performed by guitar player Jesse Smith, one of my guests today on The State of Things. Every time I think that's going to, I'm listening, and I'm saying, yeah, that's a pretty traditional bluegrass song. And then something happens, and it's not a bluegrass song anymore, and then it is. Tell me more about how you put that song together.
Yeah, so that is a bluegrass standard, but I do also love jazz music and blues music. And I play jazz guitar in my school jazz band. And I'd actually gone to Kaufman Acoustic Music Camp last summer, and I had learned parts of that arrangement by Mark Cosgrove, who's a really great guitar player in both bluegrass, but he also plays a lot of blues and jazz. And so taking from what he taught me at that camp, I also put it together with my vision of jazz and folk music, and my band and I kind of came up with the arrangement.
Well, can you break that down a little bit for me? And I'm putting you on the spot here, but what's happening there? What is that blend that I'm hearing that moves that into some other camp? Just as I say, just when I'm getting settled in, you take me to a brand new space, and I love it because it's you've changed my perception of what this is going to be. Can you explain what you did?
Yeah. So parts of it I had learned from that summer camp, but I also wanted to use a lot, not just straight major chords. I wanted to add more seventh chords and more suspended chords. So that was a big part of the rhythm part of the arrangement, but I also wanted to use some different blues scales and other types of music that I've learned from jazz band over the years.
And so if you didn't know what that is, a seventh chord or, you know, the major chords that you talked about, the fact is they're not so common in bluegrass. And by bringing them in and having them all legal, because they all have roughly the same names, just with their variations, you change the sound a little bit.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, I want to bring someone else into the conversation now. Sally Peterson is director of Folklife Program at the North Carolina Arts Council, and she pulled together the Millennial Tradition Artist Program. Sally, I want to welcome you.
Thank you.
Tell us about what's behind this program.
Well, the North Carolina Arts Council Folklife Program has been supporting the traditional arts in North Carolina for over 50 years now, and many of our programs tend to focus on elder master musicians and artists from all kinds of traditional communities. And one of the most important things that we are trying to support is the transmission of these traditions to the next generations. And that is something that continues to happen in North Carolina. And we wanted to know, you know, how are these emerging generations of artists, how are they changing the traditions? And what is their influence? And how is that going to change what we assume about the traditional arts? And we also wanted to know how cultural workers and institutions could better serve the real-world needs of traditional artists making their careers in now a digital age.
Which is interesting, because you came up, one of the things you found out was a good headshot is what we really need.
It was very interesting. We did a survey. We talked to a lot of young artists to try to figure out, well, what did they perceive their needs to be? And one of the things we discovered is that a lot of people lacked access to high-resolution digital photography, which seems like a contradiction in terms in these days of cell phones and everyone's taking pictures. and definitely selfies can be very dynamic and interesting photographs. But we found that to really communicate this story in one image, you know, a lot of artists really need that, because that's all that's going to be said about them. That's how they present themselves. That's how they're seen by outsiders. So part of our project, this project, was to try and provide high-resolution digital photography for these young artists, you know, who requested it without them having to pay for it. That was the essential ingredient. And this year, with the Piedmont traditional artists that we had been documenting, we wanted to also bring them all together to meet each other and to have some professional-level workshops to help jumpstart their careers, to just give them the kinds of things we need. And we worked with Duke University, with the Office of the Vice Provost for the Arts, you know, and they programmed the new Rubenstein Arts Center. And they always like to find a way to engage Duke students in their programs, even though it is a center now that is trying to find innovative ways to teach the arts and to understand the artistic process. And they really want to serve a larger community besides just the Duke students. But what we came up with was that, of course, there are so many programs at Duke, the Center for Documentary Studies, the Fine Arts Department, that teach photography and photography methods. And so we came up with the idea we would invite Duke students to do this photography for our millennial students in a collaborative way. So we engaged them basically in an ethnographic process and had them work with the individual artists, and they came up with stupendous photography.
And some great work that each of you is doing. But Leander, talk about what it has meant to you to come together and have workshops with people who might be working in different genres, different kinds of music, but, you know, young people who are moving a tradition forward.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, if I had told my 3-year-old self that I would be doing what I'm doing today, I'd probably laugh. But I think this is one of the most fulfilling missions that I have been purposed to do, because it's we at Leandra's Music Studio, we want to make music fun and enjoyable. But believe it or not, we just like changed our name yesterday to Journey Music Academy. And the reason why is that we're trying to embrace not only where we've come from, but where we're going. And so that no matter, you know, whoever comes to our workshops, to our classes, to whatever, whatever they're doing to embrace music, whether they're trying to preserve the tradition or whether they're trying to innovate inside the tradition, we want to be able to help serve in that purpose. So that's what's really important to us on that.
Jesse, how about you? Do you feel that you have a mission? I mean, it's a lot to put on somebody to transmit this cultural, these traditions to people, you know, in a milieu where there's a lot of other entertainment going on.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to be a part of the project in the Traditional Millennial Artist Project, and meeting all these different artists from all different kinds of art forms was really inspiring, and I got to meet a lot of new people. But right now I'm kind of at that crossroads of I'm going into my senior year of high school and thinking about college. But right now the plan is still to major in songwriting or music therapy. So I want to be able to help people through music, but also still preserve traditional music while bringing in newer types of music as well. And with my own songwriting, I strive to have it folk-based, but also bring in my different jazz and choral influences.
Jessica Lang, a singer-songwriter, performing artist in Raleigh, and I also talked with Leandra McFadder, who's a jazz and gospel pianist. Sally Peterson is Folklife Director for the North Carolina Arts Council. Thank all of you for being on the program today.
Thank you, Frank.
The portraits of Jesse and Leandra and other young artists are on display at the Rubenstein Arts Center in Durham, and that'll be there through June 30th. The information's at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.